Sentiment. I covered a man named Dean Rusk, who was Secretary of State. I covered Dr. William Rogers and then Dr. Kissinger. Dr. Kissinger is probably the most famous of the American Secretaries of State in recent years. And he has become, of course, a great friend of China. And speaks out very often in the United States about the importance of the two countries working together. That's his philosophy. And he, of course, made his first trip to China in 1971 on a secret trip for President Nixon. And that set up the historic meeting between President Nixon and Chairman Mao in Beijing, and to the negotiations for the communique that was signed in Shanghai, setting forth the U.S.-Chinese relationship. I flew on Dr. Kissinger's plane. As you know, when Dr. Kissinger was Secretary of State, he took usually about 15 members of the press with him. We paid our share of the cost, and but it was a nice way of following him because you could not really follow a Secretary of State on commercial airline while he's in his own Air Force plane. So we, and he would meet with the press almost every day, not to be interviewed, but to give us some sense of what he's doing. He was very good as he never revealed any real secrets. Most of the reporters who were not on the plane thought we were getting all kinds of secret information, but we were not. We were getting his general policy, and he had a good sense of humor. He, the way he would tell you he didn't like your story was he'd say, talk to me, he'd say, he has a German accent. You know, have you heard him speak? He would say to me, Gewatzmann, the way a German would pronounce my name, Gewatzmann, my father read your article and he decided not to put it in the scrapbook. You know what a scrapbook is? Is where you paste articles in a scrapbook. And he always used to tell us how his father kept a scrapbook of articles about his son. So he's saying, my father won't put that article in his scrapbook. That's his way of saying, I don't like your article. So but he would not say that to me directly unless it was a very serious problem. A couple of times he telephoned me at my house in when I was living in Washington to complain about an article that was in the paper that day. You know, he was very emotional. I mean, he couldn't, the article was already printed, so it wasn't like he was trying to stop the publication, but he was just complaining. And I've seen, since he left office, I've seen him a few times in New York. He lives in New York, and he still goes to this business he set up where he's a very rich man now because he gives advice to American companies that are trying to do business in foreign countries, including, of course, China. And I think he comes to China a bit with these companies. But he's getting old. I don't think he travels quite as much. He's in his 80s now. So, but he still writes well. He writes a column in some newspapers, and a great man. What was your other question? I didn't see. You had another one. Okay. In your opinion, what are the main differences between Chinese journalism and American journalism? The main difference is the obvious one. Chinese journalism is not completely independent. It's not to say it's not, doesn't have independent articles, but it's not, in the bottom line, every publication in China has to be licensed. It's licensed by the government. And so therefore, anything of a delicate nature or has to go through a certain surveillance, not surveillance, but if the government doesn't like what you're doing, it can always pull the license and close down the news organization. As I was telling you yesterday, I was talking to an editorial writer from a Chinese newspaper the other day in Shanghai, and I asked him how much pressure did he have writing his editorials, because it was interesting to me to find out. And he said 90% of what he writes he has no problem with. Then he stopped and he said, and that's much better than it used to be. So I thought that was a good statement, because you can read in the Chinese press now probably articles that would not have been there 10 years ago. I was struck in China Daily the other day about articles about problems of pollution, how they had to have better control. There's an article in China Daily today about children suffering from lead poisoning. These are not complementary. They're part of a campaign to make businesses be more knowledgeable about the atmosphere and about to not pollute. Just like there are many articles about high officials being arrested for corruption. Those are all very interesting articles that probably might not have appeared in the press 5 to 10 years ago. I'm not certain, but that's my guess. I was interviewed yesterday after I left here by this business magazine. Which one? Kaiting, yes, Kaiting. And we talked about this, and I asked him again, how independent are you? Because his magazine has some investors in it. It's not owned by the government. But he said, no, we have a license, and so we have to watch a bit what we do. But he thought they were pretty independent in what they wrote. Do you ever read that magazine, Kaiting? Yes. It's a popular magazine, isn't it? On financial matters or business matters. They're going to have a video of me on television. I mean, on the internet next week. So if you have anything better to do, don't bother. But it's a... anyway. But those are good questions. And America... I'll talk about American journalism, because there's some obvious things about American journalism. One, it is independent of the government. That goes back to when the United States was first founded. There was great sensitivity about that. And so that's one of the American prides, is that the American press is independent of the government. That means the government cannot close down a newspaper. Now, some newspapers, and almost all newspapers, are owned by businesses, and they are trying to make profits. Otherwise, as we talked earlier, if they don't make a profit, the newspaper may close. There's a very famous American magazine called Business Week, which was sort of one of the richest magazines in America, and it's now for sale because they're just losing so much money in loss of advertising. So even though American press is independent of the government, they're not independent of making money. They have to have money to survive. Now, that leads to the question, can advertisers, that is the people who buy advertising, influence what appears in the press. For the big newspapers, I don't think they can do that. It's been sometimes on television, some advertisers have withdrawn their advertisements because they didn't want to be on certain kinds of shows. You know, some shows that had some nude women, sexy stuff, some advertisers that sell home products don't want to be associated with it, so they don't do it. I, as a reporter, an editor never had anybody outside my editors tell me they didn't like a story or shouldn't print it or what. You know, it doesn't mean everything a reporter writes gets printed, because sometimes the editors think it's not worthy of print, not for any political reason, just... and you want the article to be fair, and you want the article to be accurate. So sometimes if an editor has doubts about the accuracy, if it just doesn't feel right to him, he may hold it. Now, there have been instances where stories were not run and the government were involved. I want to just be 100% fair. Did I mention the Bay of Pigs yesterday? In 1961, when President John F. Kennedy was in his first year of office, he went ahead and ordered an invasion of Cuba by some Cubans who were living in the United States who were anti-Fidel Castro. And this is called the Bay of Pigs invasion because these Cuban exiles landed on a beach called the Bay of Pigs. And they were defeated solidly by Castro's army. The reason I mention this is the New York Times had learned, this was organized by the Central Intelligence Agency. The New York Times, apparently, I wasn't on the New York Times then, but the New York Times learned about this invasion ahead of time and was going to write an article about it and were asked by President Kennedy not to do so for fear it would endanger the invasion. And the Times did not write an article. And later on, said publicly it was a big mistake, they should have done it, and it would have saved a lot of problems for the U.S. government if they had actually run the article and prevented the invasion. So that's one example. Then in 1971, when I was a correspondent in Moscow, the New York Times got hold of secret documents about the history of the American diplomatic efforts to end the Vietnam War, which became known as the Vietnam Papers. And the Times started publishing these secret documents. They weren't that sensitive, but they were just classified secret. And the Nixon administration was angry that the New York Times was breaking the rules that you're not supposed to print secret documents. And they went to court, and the court issued an injunction stopping the Times from publishing these documents. And that lasted a couple of days, and then the Times was allowed to continue publishing. Those are major instances where the government did use its influence to stop publication. Anyway, okay. Did that help?
I want to ask.
Yes.
Right now you said the article is not interesting enough. So if we want to report the fears...
Which article was I talking about? Which one?
This one.
Oh, about that. Oh, no, that. I thought that was an interesting article. I thought what was interesting to me was that the Chinese government felt very strongly about this issue, that there was a criticism of its policy, military policy, and issued a strong statement condemning the American criticism. I thought that was interesting because, as I say, it obviously was very sensitive to Chinese, whereas the original article, the original document which came out apparently in the United States, the American press never even paid any attention to. So it's an interesting way. I think, I may be wrong on this, I think Chinese are much more sensitive about what Americans say about China than Americans are about what Chinese say about the United States. Now, I may be wrong. My guess is, that's why I was asking, I don't think that article today will get much attention in the United States press. There's too much else going on. And the American press say they're still caught up with this healthcare debate. Now Obama, I told you, stopped this missile defense, which has got the Europeans upset, and the Republican Party is criticizing him for that. There was a young, you may have seen on the website, a big story for the last several days in New York area was a young Vietnamese girl who was a graduate student at Yale University in, I guess, microbiology, was murdered in her laboratory. And the irony is she was supposed to get married the next day. So it was like a mystery story for a few days because people wondered, did her fiancé kill her? First she disappeared. They didn't know where she was. And at first I think people thought, well, maybe she's a young woman who was just terrified of getting married and just ran away. But that didn't seem to be the case. And then they found her body stuffed in a closet in this laboratory, and she was murdered. And so they had it. Luckily, the school had a video camera that photographed everybody coming in and out of the building. And the police were able to locate some man, and you know this thing, DNA? DNA is, apparently, if I scratch you, you can tell from the scratch if it's my DNA. So this man had scratches on him, and I guess they were able to prove that he was the one, or at least suspect that he had murdered her. He was somebody else who worked in that laboratory. And they just arrested him last night. So that was a big story in the American press, particularly the New York Times. They had a big front page story on that. And the economy is still a big story in the United States.
It's a big story in many Chinese newspapers.
Oh, about this girl?
Yeah. Oh.
Killed in the university, yes. She's not Chinese, but she looks Chinese. She's Vietnamese.
So do you think there's a different treatment of the media toward the same event will have a negative effect between the understanding between different countries?
Well, it can, yes. I am of the view on Chinese-American relations that there are certain issues that will always pop up, that basically the United States relies very strongly on China, and China relies very strongly on the United States economically.